Here in the United States, journalists are more likely to feel pressure from ratings gurus than from the government. Television programs often live and die by ratings, and the same is true of newspapers, magazines, even radio. They all adjust their programming to fit the needs of a research demographic. Editors and writers are adept at tailoring a news product for the masses. Commentator April Lunston has first-hand experience.
I write real-life stories for teen girl magazines. Stories with headlines like, "My mom called the cops on me," and "My best friend was kidnapped by terrorists, it's true." Over the past couple of years, I've penned at least 24 accounts of girls who went through some sort of extreme, traumatic experience, supposedly emerging wiser, more mature, and cured of their misguided ways. Rocio is my latest subject. For the interview, we face each other in a plain, windowless conference room at her day school's administration office. She has long, dark hair. It covers most of her face. When I introduce myself, she laughs quietly, glancing shyly at the table. "I beat the crap out of anyone who disrespects my set," she tells me. "That way I get respect from my homies." With a smile, she says, "And it's fun." My job for this article is to get Rocio to open up to me, to encourage her to tell me about the violent initiation ritual called getting beat into a street gang, and to convince her that other teen girls just like her will be helped if she tells the world how scared she was to have 5 guys punching her. I can't let her know what's most important is that her story sufficiently shock a mainly middle-class, white, American high school girl audience. I also can't ever reveal that I get paid $1.50 a word for persuading her to give up the juicy tidbits of her life, so I can have a byline and a paycheck. The story I write can say Rocio is doing better now that she's out of the gang and getting help from a state-funded teens in crisis agency. I can also let readers know she's getting mostly A's and B's at her continuation school, and that she's turned tagging into painting. And her mom doesn't yell at her every single day anymore. And her father is still absent, but that's okay. And she wants to make a good impression on her little brothers. And she knows that gang life is stupid and she could do better. What I have to leave out of the article is Rocio's Latina cadence, laden with curse words and street slang. And I have to explain what homies means. I have to leave out how Rocio really feels about her gang. How every night when she goes to bed, she wishes she were out on the street tagging some office supply store with her graffiti moniker. That she craves cocaine so badly that she sometimes holds her breath in order to induce a sense of being high. That she misses the power rush of smacking a rival gangster's jaw and watching the blood pour. I can't write about how she had to regularly fight off rough sexual advances from her homeboys just to stay respected, and how she doesn't know if she'll ever be able to understand men. The week Rocio's story went to press, I called her for a last-minute fact-check and learned that she'd run away. I let my editor know Rocio had disappeared, and she said, "Well, that happens with these girls. We'll run the story anyway. As is."
April Lunston writes and lives in Los Angeles.